From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Good morning, this is Phil Owen. I hope that you've had a good week. If not, I trust that you can look to Christ and experience the truth that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I remind you of the magazine that's coming available soon that's produced especially for our radio audiences. You'll be able to discover where each program airs, to learn about the history and development of the ministry, and to read interesting articles and messages from the broadcasters, and letters, I hope, from listeners like you. Please call or write if you would like to be included on our mailing list to receive this magazine that's produced especially for the Let the Bible Speak radio ministry. The information will be given at the close of the program as far as the phone numbers and addresses are concerned. Can you remember the last book of the New Testament Scriptures, the last book of the Bible? Yes, it's the book of Revelation. Chapter 19, verses 5 and 6 read, And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And this next music selection is relevant to the message of Alleluia, or Praise the Lord.
Around the radiant silence, the
A distinguished-looking man stood before the jury pleading his case, saying, "Your Honor, up to this time I have lived a clean life. My record as a respected citizen, a good husband and father, and a regular churchgoer has already been established by many witnesses of excellent character. This, Your Honor, is my first and only crime." The judge, in his instructions to the jury, said, "It is true that up to this time the defendant has been a good, religious, respectable citizen, but all this must not sway you, for the crime which he has committed is a very serious one. You must bear in mind that it takes only one crime to make a criminal, and that this one crime wipes out any good of the past. You may retire." After a long deliberation, the jury filed back into the courtroom and took their seats. The judge asked them, "What is your verdict?" Trembling, the defendant got to his feet to receive the sentence. What would it be? The foreman arose and said, "Your Honor, we find the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree." The day of his execution was set, and the condemned man was put into the death cell. The days spent there seemed like eternity to him, but at last the fatal day arrived. The last meal was served, and the last visitor had departed. Then, just before the death march began, the warden received a stay of execution notice for this man, and later a pardon from the President of the United States. This pardon, coming from the highest authority in the country, enabled the guilty man to walk out of prison free from the claims of the law, as though he had never committed a terrible crime. Just as the judge instructed the jury that one crime wipes out all past merits, so God, the judge of judges, the highest authority in heaven and the earth, has ruled that one sin wipes out any claim or merit based on past religious, moral, social, or ethical goodness. Just as one crime makes a criminal, so one sin makes a sinner. Just as one crime must be paid for or pardoned, so also one sin must be paid for or pardoned. The criminal in his death cell knew he was condemned to die, but did not know until the last minute that he had been given a pardon. But there are millions roaming the world today who are unaware or indifferent to the truth that they are already under God's sentence of judgment, of death. The Scriptures tell us, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," in Ezekiel, and in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death." God has offered a pardon to those who are sinners, but these so-called respectable sinners compare themselves with others, and thus have a different opinion of themselves than God. For the Scripture says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death," Proverbs 14:12. One sin levels down all mankind, regardless of race, religion, or culture, to sinners condemned to die. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And 1 John tells us, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, that is God, a liar, and His word is not in us." This word from the Bible does away once for all with the false conception of doing the best you can or comparing yourself favorably with another. Would you like to have people see your past sins thrown onto a screen? According to God's plan, it takes only one sin to condemn us to eternal separation from Him in hell. What a terrible condition would be ours if Romans 6:23, quoted above, stopped at the word death. But it does not stop there. The rest of the verse goes on, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Mental assent to God's plan of salvation is of no value unless you do something about it. You must receive Christ and have His work on earth and on Calvary applied to you by the Holy Spirit. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power," or authority, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God," John 1, verses 12 and 13. The vital difference between those who are redeemed and those who are lost is that when a born-again redeemed one stands before the judgment throne and the devil brings up past sins, The redeemed sinner can say, "Yes, all your accusations are true, and many more. But I have received, while living, a complete pardon from the King of Kings. And that pardon was not arbitrary, but grounded in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can convince God of dispensing such forgiveness." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But those who stand before the judgment throne of God, never having accepted God's pardon, and for one reason or another, never having received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, will hear this from the lips of the Lord of glory: "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." God makes it very clear that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. He doesn't have to die again. No influence, religious, political, or otherwise, can set aside the verdict of God that one sin will send a soul to hell. But the work of Christ can obliterate sin's power and penalty and deception and guilt. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. God has placed the cross squarely across your path to hell. It will be no fault on His part if you go there, but it will be the result of your deliberate neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? But come to Christ, even now. For all who come unto Him, He will in no way cast out. John 6:37.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the pot applied. Glory to His name.
And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers, and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet He, God, sent prophets to them, to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, "Thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you." And they conspired against Him, and stoned Him with stones at the commandment of the king, in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, "The Lord look upon it, and require it." Our Father, we ask that Thou will bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word today. Thou hast said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Wilt Thou produce faith in us to cling to Thee? For Jesus' sake, amen. Earlier, I read that God has placed the cross squarely across the path of the sinner to hell. In the passage I just read to you in 2 Chronicles of the Old Testament Scriptures, indicates that the Lord places many obstacles on the way to hell. And in one sense, you might call them stepping stones to heaven, but stumbling blocks to hell. And how many times in our prayer meetings have we prayed that people in our own community will have to stumble over us to get to hell, that no one will be without the gospel and be without the knowledge of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to speak to us on the obstacles to hell. God has placed many there. The Lord has placed many stumbling blocks, if you will, on the road to hell. And may we consider these today and be turned away from that road to the road to heaven, the road that is found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many obstacles to hell. The Lord says here that as the people drifted away from Him, that He sent prophets to them. This is 2 Chronicles 24:19. He sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And He gives an example of one named Zechariah, who preached the word of the Lord to the people, but they stoned him to death. Prophets are certainly obstacles that the Lord puts in the way of sinners to hell. God has sent His people time and time again to preach the gospel. You remember way back, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, stood in the way of sinners. He stood between sinners and hell, and he preached that they needed to repent, that they needed to get into the ark, that the rain was coming, the storm, the worldwide flood was a foreboding truth. But the people just laughed and dismissed the message of Noah. And just 8 people got in that ark along with animals. And the Lord shut the door and all the rest drowned. No matter how high they climbed, the water climbed after them. The water rose and finally they were exterminated. The Lord has sent His people throughout the centuries to stand between the soul and eternity. May you listen to God's preachers and God's people who witness to you. Some are listening today that have heard the gospel over and over again. You've heard it from a Christian at work or a Christian neighbor or your child or your brother or sister or your spouse. The Lord has His people sent to preach Jesus Christ to souls. You must be born again. You must come to Christ in order to be saved. And the Lord has placed so many obstacles there. The obstacles of the preachers of the gospel. Oh, that the Lord would use us to steer souls to Christ away from hell. This radio message and this radio ministry is an obstacle to hell. Week in and week out, we lift up Jesus Christ and preach that He is the only way of salvation. There's none other way. He said He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through Him. John 14:6. This radio ministry is an obstacle to hell. May the Lord use this to cause your soul to cling to Christ, to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look unto Him for salvation. As I said earlier, Mount Calvary is an obstacle to hell. As people, as it were, fly in this life and drift along, they can't help but seeing that great mountain peak that looms in the distance. It's called Mount Calvary. The Lord Jesus died there. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That was the greatest court case of the ages. Not the court case that we considered a few years ago in California, but the court case that Christ was the victim. Christ was the one that was condemned to die, but it was a substitutionary death. The Lord Jesus' cross is an obstacle. You have to go past Calvary to get to hell. May you look upon the Christ of Calvary and be saved. Mount Sinai, even before Calvary, is a mountain peak, is an obstacle to hell. The law cries out, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The law cries out that God is angry with sin and angry with sinners. The soul that sinneth it shall die. The law reveals sin, the book of Romans tells us. So the law is an obstacle to hell. It's not a means of salvation. It is a schoolmaster to Christ. It points you away from yourself, away from your works, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law condemns the soul, but the law causes the soul to fall before the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save you from the condemnation of the law, because He kept the law perfectly in the place of His people. Conversion of friends and acquaintances, notable conversions, are obstacles to hell. Perhaps you have a spouse or a parent or a child or a sibling or a friend, a neighbor, that has been converted to Christ, and you look at it as very strange and very peculiar, but you're not willing to consider your own need of salvation. May the Lord use the conversion of an acquaintance as an obstacle between you and hell. May you find that person as one who leads you to the Savior, as a stepping stone to heaven. For how often has the Lord used the conversion of His people to the conversion of another? The Bible says, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. When the Lord saved that demoniac, recorded in Mark 5, He told him to go home to his friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for him and hath had compassion on his soul. And he went and spread abroad the fame of Christ throughout Decapolis, the 10 cities where he used to live. And so the conversion of an acquaintance is the Lord's way of getting your attention that you need to be converted. Two of my friends in high school were saved. When I grew up in Syracuse, Joe and Bryant got converted to Christ, and they began to witness to many of us. And the Lord used that, as it were, as an index finger for me to get off the road to hell and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian neighbor might be used of the Lord to point you to the Savior. As you drink tea and coffee together, as you take your walk around the neighborhood, maybe your friend, your neighbor, is trying to tell you about Christ and how great He is and gracious He is and good He is, that He is altogether lovely. May you take this as a message from the Lord for you to be saved and to trust in the Lord Jesus. The obituary column, deaths, funerals, graves, cemeteries ought to be obstacles to hell. As we realize this awful truth that it's appointed in a man once to die and after that the judgment, oh, may you take it to heart. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that the righteous take to heart more the house of mourning than the house of feasting. That's why many people don't want to read the obituary section or go to funerals. They want to be in the bars and in the dances, but they don't want to be where the people are mourning. But God wants you to be there to realize that life is short, time is short, that life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. May the obituary section, deaths, funerals, graves, cemeteries, be stark reminders to us that we're going to meet God. We need to be prepared to meet our God. The Bible on your coffee table is an obstacle to hell. Will you open it and read John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible on your coffee table, on your bookshelf, is an obstacle to hell. Open it and read it prayerfully and carefully, and cry out that the Lord will open your heart and your mind, and that you might receive the Savior. A tract you may have received, picked up off the ground, the Lord can use as an obstacle to hell. That you read of someone's testimony, you read of someone's burden to reach you with the message of the gospel. We have many tracts at our church. The Wrong Answer at Heaven's Gate. The Only Crime. How Long Have I to Live? So many little pieces of literature that people have spent money on and time in order to get glimpses of the Scripture and glimpses of truth to people. Oh, that the Lord would use it. Some of you, perhaps listening today, have received tracts when we've been at Lafayette Square at noon on Fridays. May the Lord use it. I've heard of people picking up a tract, a piece of literature in a trash can, reading it and getting saved. When I was lost in 1978, hitchhiking from a tavern, a man picked me up hitchhiking at 1 a.m. And when I got out to go into my dormitory, he gave me a tract that he had in his glove compartment. And the Lord used that to strike me with the realization that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So many obstacles the Lord has placed in our way. A praying parent, a praying child, a praying sibling. Maybe you know that your mother's praying for you to be saved, or your father, or your brother or sister, or your son or daughter, that you have belittled and dismissed the conversion of your child, but that one's praying for you that you might come to the Savior, that you might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Oh, may the Lord break you today and make you a child of His.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also, be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m., and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.